Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the July 12th, 2022 Susquehanna County Council meeting. Mrs. Jennings, any agenda changes or?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have one recommendation to remove number three under grant requests, the new Coverdale Outreach Mission, Inc. for a new HVAC system.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Green. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Five yes, motion carried. At the minutes of June 28th, any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is no correspondence this afternoon.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Now is the time for public comment. Anybody wants to speak to council has 3 minutes to come speak to us about something we have some control over, interest in. Come on down, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is William Kennick. I'm a member of DMOA. I'd like to talk to you guys about stewardship in our county. I know that we let Denrick handle a lot of our big stuff issues, but currently we have over 20 communities that have sewer problems, and we also have drinking water problems. And I wanted to know if you guys are going to be a good steward and try to fix this problem. I know Mr. Schaefer's already helped us in Donovan Smith, and we'll be meeting with DENREC in August with Mr. Short and Mr. Dukes and Mr. Vincent. We'd like to have you there as well for that area, because their mobile gardens is a major contributor to the pollution into the Nanticoke River again. And in our talks with the EPA, in our discussions and the documentations that we have, I just need to find out when and where this county will be taking up the right to defend our environment and not lay it back on DENREC's responsibilities. So again, my question to you is, are we going to be good stewards to our county, to our land, to our environment?
I'm sure you know by state law that DENREC is charged with the things you're talking about.
Yes, sir. But
we cannot pass anything here that supersedes DENREC or state law.
Correct, but we also
talk with DENREC about it, but we can't.
Right. So again, this is where I believe that becoming good stewards was we can get them into good verbiage with Mr. Garvin and them. So, you know, so I believe that's what we need to be looking at. And as I stated, Mr. Schaefer already helped us get to where we need to do with the city of Lewis to get that piece where we're at. It's not totally finalized yet, but within 3 months they should have some type of contract to start working that environment. But it's a start. But now we're having the issue on the western side where we're leaking into the Nanticoke River again. And I just want to make sure that we're on top of this. I fully understand the agency's responsibilities, the counties, but I believe we need to hold them better accountable. So I thank you guys for your time and appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Come on down, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Sears. How are you?
My name is Leonard Sears. I reside in Briarwood Manor. And Briarwood has been fighting a case with its owner for some time. I'm going to follow up on some of the things that you heard Bill Kinnick say, the president of DMOA. In our court case, what I have found to be remarkable is a thing called, I guess you could say, where the right hand is not letting the left hand know. So, in other words, DENREC is not letting you guys know, by no stretch of the imagination, everything that is going on in all these parks in Sussex County that have sewage problems. Oversight has become a very big issue. In this court case, I have found out that it is better to deal anymore with the upline called EPA and move to the top than it is to deal with our own state. DENREC is holding back from you guys and ultimately notification that the tenants in all these communities which hold a valid lease on leased land. In that process, our leases are becoming invalid. They're breached, they are, by the landlord. So what it is setting, this notification that we're not getting until everything's done on nuclear option. We pay a dear price for that nuclear option because Briarwood Manor has been in court now for 8 months. This is one place we don't need to be. We can spend our money well worth not going to court and getting things fixed if we do one thing, communicate, and we're lacking communication. So what I would ask the council today, and I thank this gentleman right here, we have lots of areas in Sussex County from the Atlantic Ocean to the Chesapeake Bay with violations that we need to clean up. We need to clean up, and we start with our own house. We don't have to part fingers with other people. We clean our own house up first. I would like to thank the council for hearing me, and may God bless each and every one of you. I thank you for your time.
Mr. Benson, can I say, Mr.
Schaefer,
I can tell you, and just so you know, I know that Mr. Lawson has asked NREC at least twice that I'm aware of for information updates, enforcement actions in all of these parks, and I don't think he's even gotten a response, let alone the information.
Let me tell you how I would answer that, sir.
And it's frustrating.
15 months ago, I put in a FOIA Act. You know how much of a response I got? I got where it was typed on the paperwork, they received it. Have I got anything back as of yet? I sent them two letters. I'm wasting my time in getting writer's cramp. If they're not going to listen to us, and all I've got to do is write and try to make communication with them, this is an organization that our governor needs to restructure, is what he needs to do.
Absolutely.
And I wish he would for all involved. I wish he would.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Michael. Thank the board.
Thank
God bless.
Any more public comments? Public comments. Operator, check online, please. Public comments.
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you. We'll close public comments. Next thing is consent agenda. We have three items. Use the existing sewer infrastructure agreement, IUA CU2207. OA Marlin Chase Cedar Neck area. Use the existing sewer infrastructure agreement, IUA 1159. Gulfstream Development, Johnson's Corner area. And use the existing sewer infrastructure agreement, IUA 439-2, Bayless Estates Investments, LLC, Oak Orchard area. Any questions on those at all? Not entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have yet. Motion carried. Ms. Jennings, administrator's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. The administrator's report for July 12th, 2022. The first item is the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will meet July 18th at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County Administrative Offices West Complex, 22215 North DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. A copy of the agenda is attached. The second item is a reminder that the council will not meet Tuesday, July 19th. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on Tuesday, July 26th at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Brewington, second quarter employee recognition awards. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of council. So today, I'm happy to announce and congratulate our second quarter Shining Star winners. We received 63 submissions for the second quarter.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're happy about that. A lot of good work being done. So I'm happy to announce the Shining Star Committee selected three individuals, Andrew Knaustout, who works as a library assistant at the Greenwood Library, David Rittenhouse, GIS specialist in the Geographic Information Department, and Deborah Shields, who is our senior exemption coordinator in the Finance Department. So I do have two of the three winners. Before I bring them up, I want to read what the submissions were. Andrew Knaustout actually received three submissions from the director of the Greenwood Library, Christina Woodas. I do have our county librarian, Rachel Lynch, here today. So Andrew stepped up and took on the job of teen librarian with energetic and innovative enthusiasm. He evaluated the collection and asked for patrons and staff feedback, and then came up with a plan to separate the collection, library collection, into two categories, young adult and then emerging adult. Huge step for the collection and our patrons, creating a space where all kids can find books on their reading level and interest. It was a problem that needed a solution for a long time, and current staff were unsure how to solve it, but Andrew came up with a brilliant solution, and the space is more welcoming and inviting to teens. So Andrew is not here with us today, but let me read the other two. David Rittenhouse, he had two submissions, one by Megan Nearba and one by Sabrina Fight. The first one, I had several time-sensitive requests for county council and administration that I had brought to just before the finish line when I had to take a emergency leave of absence. David did not miss a beat when I reached out for help. Not only did he get the job done, he provided valuable feedback to make the deliverable even cleaner. David stepped up in a time of real stress for me and took the project and got it over the finish line. Nice work, David. The second from Sabrina states, even though technical support is not a main role of David's daily tasks, he helped Anthony get connected to the GIS portal in my absence and without a heads up notice. I believe that David's attention to the multiple tasks and roles of a multidisciplined department and 100% effort to provide the best customer service demonstrated David's true spirit to be a team player. Thank you for the customer service and keeping our team strong. And last but not least, we have Deborah Shields. She is our senior exemption coordinator in the finance department. She had a submission by Katrina Mears, which states the 2021 State 65 file was submitted and reviewed by the state of Delaware and no errors were found. This is the first file submission since we took over the process in 2017 that has been completely error-free. This can be attributed to Debbie's thorough review of owner changes throughout the year and the implementation of approval denial letters. Great job. So those are the submissions. I would like each one to come up and get their picture taken. Mr. President, sure. If you would
certainly
come down.
Certainly.
Each one of these winners is going to receive a certificate, a Shining Star pin, and a t-shirt, and will be eligible for the Employee of the Year. So David, if you can come up, and Deborah.
Congratulations. Medlars, come on down.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, and good afternoon, council members. We are truly in the final phases of the Western Sussex project. You know that obviously the flow has been going to Seaford for over a year now, all of it, year and a half. We started in November of 2020. So, but what's currently going on is the demolition project, the S1929, and it had four different components on the demolition side. One's sort of the classic component, taking the structures down. That was the B segment. The A segment is cleaning these structures out because they had many years of, I'd say, sludge in it. And also getting rid of all of the documented and undocumented chemicals. The C segment is some improvements and some redo pieces which had to be re-advertised and rebid, and that's just starting up. And the D segment was, and that was always part of the initial project from the get-go, is identifying infiltration and inflow, and that D segment has now also kicked off. Let me start with the D segment. When we started the D segment, they ran into, the first week was pretty difficult, and the second week was not less difficult, because we had, they probably had, both of us, had underestimated the amount of buildup in a sewer system which is almost 100 years old. So after a lot of back and forth, we had to come to an agreement how many passes of a vac truck are reasonable to expect before you can put a camera in versus how many additional ones are needed. So that drives sort of the first change order. The second one was, once we cleaned some sections, we could see that there was some inflow coming through laterals, which we believe are cracked laterals. And the initial bid only had the TVing of the main line. So the team, the contractor, has a what's called lateral launch camera where they can launch it into the laterals. But that takes about 30 minutes for each one to get that data. So we asked them to give us a unit price to do one lateral at a time. And we have, if we see water coming from any of the ones we're working on, we're going to launch it up there and take a look. So we have a unit price for that, and we sort of figured we'll do about 150 of them. So that's sort of the second. So that's the D segment. You want to see the hear the motion, suggested motion on the D segments before we move on to the A and B?
Sure, that's fine.
So the first one is the investigation of the laterals. BB move based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the change order number one for contract S19-29, Western Sussex Transmission Facilities, segment D, be approved for an increase to the contract of $52,500. And that is a specific number of laterals, which we believe we will hit but not exceed. So that's why we structured it as a fixed amount versus a not to exceed amount.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second,
Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
So when you see the second one is the cleaning component, and that one we structured as a not to exceed because we're still holding out hope here that the really old sections of town where we're in right now, like Walnut, that it's going to get better as we move to different areas.
Sure.
So be moved based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number two for contract S19-29 Western Sussex Transmission Facility Segment D be approved for an increase to the contract not to exceed $33,900. And I listed in the memo the unit prices we're using for the cleaning. I didn't want to put it in the motion.
Sure, no, that's fine. Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second,
Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
So the segment A, that was actually very good news. So we had a small change. Believe it or not, as much time as we spend in this plant, we opened some areas had never been opened, and chemicals were found. So they were hauled away. And we have a very small component of a fixed price change order to get rid of these extra chemicals which were not identified in the bid.
Sure.
And we spent dozens of hours looking for and identifying, reading labels, and putting them all in the bid, but there's still some we didn't hit. The second one is the good news that once it was all said and done, we had overestimated and conservatively estimated the number of sludge tons and grit tons in the digester, in the wet well, and in the old, what's called rotating biological contactors. So that is actually a decrease of a significant amount of over $200,000. So I have two motions which go with segment E.
Okay.
BB move based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department at change order number one for contract S19-29 Western Sussex Transmission Facility, segment A, be approved for an increase in the contract of $2,628.88.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one is the closeout and the acceptance and the decrease. BB move based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number two, let me add, that balancing change order number two for contract S19-29 Western Sussex Transmission Facility Segment A be approved for a decrease of $216,097.35, and that substantial completion be granted effective June 23rd, 2022, with any held retainage released in accordance with the documents.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes, Mr. Carey. Next.
Last but not least is segment B, that is the actual demolition, the concrete work, et cetera, the metals. And what we ran into there, as we are trying to reduce the structures down to 2 feet, that's our target, 18 inches to 24 inches below grade, we encountered a pipeline which has to stay in place. And we were initially going to cut it off. The town says, no, you can't cut that pipe. It's a water pipe. We can't cut that pipe off. You have to maintain that interconnection. So in order to do that and demo the structure, it was at the digester. So we have to move that. We have to literally move the pipe so we can take the digester down to 2 feet below grade. So we have to reroute that pipe. That requires a tie-in in both sides. So we went back and forth a couple times. We do have a proposed lump sum change order to move the pipe, get all this work, and then we can complete the demolition.
Okay.
So be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the change order number one for contract S19-29 Western Sussex Transmission Facilities, segment B, be approved for an increase to the contract amount of $27,743.89.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Mr. President.
Mr. Parker.
Afternoon, Mr. President, Council members.
Afternoon.
So Mr. Bob Ryan's here with me today. So we're here to present an update on some recent conditional issues associated with our primary 422 runway at the airport, along with a recommended path forward for further assessment. So we summarized in the memo that's in the packet a brief chronology of what we observed last year, essentially what we would characterize as some surface anomalies or blow-up areas, along with some follow-up actions that we performed through the engineering department with some pavement test patches. And that was done in the fall timeframe of last year. So the photos that we included in the memo are somewhat concerning to us in that the areas of crumbling concrete that appear at the top of the concrete base have also resulted in voids along both the joint lines of the concrete slabs as well as mid-slab. Just a little bit of pavement history chronology, not necessarily in your memo, but the actual runway pavement was built back in 1942 by the federal government. Most of us know that. Consisting of essentially concrete slabs with a nominal 6 inches of depth. Three additional rehab projects were performed since then. The first one in 1971, which was fairly substantial by the plans. It involved the removal and replacement of various slabs, concrete slabs, as well as some repairs of the concrete slabs. And then finally, its first 2-inch overlay of hot mix. 1971 was the second rehab project, and that also consisted of another hot mix overlay. And our third and final rehab project of the runway was just under 10 years ago, in 2013. And again, that resulted in yet an additional hot mix overlay. So we have, you know, some history here with the concrete pavement. I mean, it was built originally 80 years ago, and it has a variable thickness of hot mix ranging anywhere from 5 to up to 8 or 9 inches in thickness, depending on where you are. I think what concerns us most at this point is whether or not what we have observed last year on the surface of the pavement, and in fact down below at the top of the concrete base, is in fact indicative of other areas of the runway itself in terms of pavement condition and potential deterioration conditions. We did discuss our findings recently with our two airport design consultants, both of which have pavement design experts on staff, and we all concluded together that the next step was to perform a more comprehensive assessment of the actual entire runway pavement. So kind of a topic that we need to have a full grasp on at this point, especially in light of our future runway extension initiative, and really what the interrelation is between cost of that, potential repairs that we may need to make to the existing runway, and of course the hurdles of FAA funding that we'll have to overtake as well. The other point to make is if a full rehab or reconstruction will need to enter into our airport CIP in the coming years, we do really need to have a full assessment of existing conditions, along with options for repair, as well as estimates of cost, range of magnitude estimates. Sure. So that's what this assessment is going to give us. At the end of the day, we're proposing to utilize our aeronautical consulting open-end contract with Delta Airport Consultants. So we want to add a task to their contract to perform the assessment. The memo contains the full proposal, dated July 7th, and they're also including two additional specialty sub-consultants in the area of pavement design and management, as well as geotechnical. So that's all in there. And at this point, the engineering department, along with the airport manager, we've both reviewed the proposal, the scope, and the fee. We concur with its contents, and we are requesting council concurrence for our approval of the task order in the amount of not to exceed $125,000.
You have a motion?
I do.
Please read your motion.
Bob, do you have anything to add? Or?
No. Nope,
you're right? Good?
You are perfect.
Okay. So be it moved, based upon the recommendations of the Sussex County Engineering Department and Delaware Coastal Airport Manager, that concurrence for approval be provided for Delta Airport Consultants' proposal to perform a full runway 422 pavement assessment in the amount not to exceed $125,000.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will get those carried. Thank you very much, both of you.
Just a quick add-on note. We hope to have this done by the late fall timeframe, early winter, and when we do and we have some results, we'll come back before council and present those results.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
We're going to move on the agenda now down to public hearings. Mr. Robertson, if you want to.
I will.
And while you're looking it up, I'm going to welcome Councilman Wilson into the chamber. Good to see you, sir. Good to be seen, isn't it?
So, Mr. President, thank you. These are the rules of procedure for County Council zoning hearings. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application will be announced. Then the director will review with council the minutes and the testimony from the commission hearing. And those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called upon to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting the application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses at any time. After the applicant has presented the application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or their questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak or are present in the chambers, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and place of residence for the record before you make a statement. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before you give your statement. When you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there's no background noise or discussions if you are participating telephonically. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and I will make sure that it is part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another point or topic. Remember, it is the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quantity. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you do have a cell phone or similar device, we ask that you take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it until a later date. If the commission has not issued its recommendation report at the time of the council hearing, council will defer action on the application in those cases. In those cases only, council shall accept and consider written comments from the public on the commission's recommendations to the council for a period of 5 calendar days following the commission's issuance of its recommendations. This does not preclude the council from requesting additional information as otherwise permitted. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the council, on my advice and Mr. Moore's advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, text, or engage in any conversations about the application. Their decision will be made only based upon the record established at both the council and the commission hearings. Thank you, Mr. President. And with that, I think we're ready to turn it over to the first item on the agenda this afternoon for public hearings.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our first application is conditional use number 2295, Bones and Sons Heating and Air. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for indoor and outdoor storage of heating and cooling equipment to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 4.03 acres more or less. The property is lying on the east side of Conrail Road, which is Sussex County Route 546, approximately 606 feet south of the intersection of Hearns Pond Road, which is Sussex County Route 544. The 911 address is 22135 Conrail Road, Seaford, and the tax parcel ID is District 331, Map 3, Parcel 129.07. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's boundary survey, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We also have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. I would note that we have received zero comments and zero mail returns. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of June 9th of this year, and at its meeting of June 23rd of this year, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the application for the 7 reasons stated and subject to the 9 recommended conditions as outlined in the motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Question to council? Robertson.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone here on behalf of the applicant Bones and Sons Heating and Air Conditioning? If so, please come to the podium and explain the application to council. And I would state you have heard what Mr. Whitehouse has stated with regard to the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation, so if you have anything to add to that, please do so.
My name is Tiffany Bone. My husband, Carl Bone, represent Bones and Sons. I didn't actually hear that he said the recommendation was, it was kind of fast. I couldn't really.
It was to approve for the recommendations, for the reasons stated in the motion and the conditions as recommended. And if need be, I can call those up on the screen if you haven't read the.
No, it's fine. We're okay with approval. That's what we're here for. So that I have nothing to add.
Okay.
Are you okay with the conditions?
I don't think we know the condition.
I didn't think there was anything earth-shattering in there.
Yeah, I can summarize them for you if you want. The first one was that the property shall be used for an HVAC repair business in addition to your residence. So as part of that business, the temporary storage of used HVAC equipment can be allowed on the property so it can be recycled. There can't be any retail sales of HVAC equipment from the property. The site can't be permitted to become a junkyard, because that would require other zoning approvals. It says the used equipment shall be kept within a fenced and screen area, and none of it shall be permanently stored, and only the HVAC equipment that you all obtain as part of your repair and installation business. You can't accumulate other contractors' used equipment. I don't have the specific dimensions, but there was a square footage, 1,600 square feet on the site to be set aside for the temporary storage area, and that be shown on the final site plan, because you'll have to come back in with the final site plan to Mr. Whitehouse's office. Downward screen any outdoor lighting, screen any dumpsters from view, comply with any DLDOT requirements, and that's essentially it. So.
Okay. Sounds good.
Anything else to add, or you're good with what the testimony that you gave at the P&Z hearing is all you need to give as far as you're concerned?
Yes, I don't have anything to add.
Okay,
and if they don't have anything to add, you can take a seat and we'll see if there's anyone here who wishes to speak in favor of the application. Thank you. Is there anyone present in the room this afternoon who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Mr. President, for the record, I do not see anyone here who wishes to speak in favor. Is there anyone in the room present who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Again, Mr. President and Council, it doesn't appear that there's anyone who wishes to speak in opposition. Operator, is there anyone listening remotely that would like to comment either way in favor of or in opposition to this application?
At this time, there's no one on the line.
Okay. Based on that, Mr. President and Council, we can close the public hearing.
We'll close the public hearing. Okay, with Council, close the public record. Ask Mr. Robertson to read the short title.
I will certainly do that. This is conditional use number 2295 filed on behalf of Bones and Sunning Heating and Air. It is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for indoor and outdoor storage of heating and cooling equipment to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 4.03 acres more or less, the property being on the east side of Conrail Road, Sussex County Road 546, approximately 606 feet south of the intersection of Hearns Pond Road, Sussex County Road 544, with a 911 address of 22135 Conrail Road, Seaford, tax parcel 331.3.00129.07. And that is the short title.
You did a good job. Pleasure, Council.
I'll move for approval.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. The motion is to approve based on the reason for planning and zoning and the conditions placed by planning and zoning. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
I vote yes based on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mrs. Green.
I vote yes based on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Riley.
I will also vote yes based on Planning and Zoning's recommendations with conditions.
I will also vote yes based on P&Z's recommendations. Motion carried. Thank you all. Have a good afternoon. Next.
The next item, Mr. President, Council, Mr. Whitehouse, is conditional use number 2296 filed on behalf of Michael Milligan. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a towing business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 3.07 acres more or less. The property is lying on the east side of Justice Farm Road, which is Sussex County Route 449A, approximately 0.31 miles south of Johnson Road, which is Sussex County Route 447. The 911 address is 31531 Justice Farm Road, Laurel, and the tax parcel ID is District 232, Map 19, parcel 12.02. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We also have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. I would note that we have received zero comments and zero mail returns. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of June 9th of this year, and at its meeting of June 23rd of this year, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the application for the five reasons stated and subject to the 11 recommended conditions as outlined in the motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion along with the draft findings of both of those meetings is included in your paperless packets. Excuse me.
Any questions, Council? Mr. Robertson.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. Council, is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor or on behalf of this application? Mr. Miller, come on up. Hi. If you could state your name and place of residence for the record.
Michael Milligan.
Okay. You've heard what Mr. Whitehouse has stated to the council this afternoon, and council's aware of the commission's recommendation. Do you have anything you'd like to add with regard to your application?
No, I'm fine with everything.
Okay.
All right. Any questions of council?
You've seen the conditions that the Planning and Zoning Commission?
Yes.
And you do understand, just so we're all confused, do you understand that condition E says no junked, unregistered, or permanently inoperable vehicles or trailers shall be stored on the site?
That's correct.
Because I rode by there Saturday and there's a few trailers, at least two trailers and a motorhome I don't think are tagged.
The motorhome is a repossession and is...
Well, you can't store it there.
Yeah, I'm going to move it to my impound itself.
How about two trailers?
The one trailer's for storage for PIP for customers, and the other trailer is full of my junk, yeah. I cleaned the shop out and I put it all in that semi-trailer.
I mean, is there any way you could relocate that so it's not in the very front yard of the property?
Yeah, I mean, it's off to that second driveway, as you saw.
Yeah, if you could move it, whatever, just so it looks a little better, that's all.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions of council? Okay, you can have a seat.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President and Council. Is there anyone present in the room this afternoon who wishes to speak in favor of this application? For the record, Mr. President and Council, does not appear there's anyone who wishes to speak in favor. Is there anyone present in the room this afternoon who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Again, Mr. President and Council, and for the record, there is no one who wishes to speak in opposition. Operator, is there anyone listening remotely that would like to comment either in favor of or in opposition to this application? Thank you. With that, Mr. President and Council, we can close the hearing, and if you so choose, can close the record.
We'll close the public hearing. Okay, the council close the public record. Ask Mr. Robertson to read the short title.
I will do that. This is conditional use number 2296, filed on behalf of Michael Milligan. It is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a towing business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 3.078 acres, more or less. The property lying on the east side of Justice Farm Road, Sussex County Road 449A, approximately 0.31 miles south of Johnson Road, Sussex County Road 447, with a 911 address of 31531 Justice Farm Road, Laurel, and the tax parcel is 232-19.00-12.02. Thank you.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. And that motion would be to grant the conditional use based on P&Z's recommendations and number 1 through 5, reasons 1 through 5 and 6A through K, I assume.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Based on that?
Based on the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Committee.
Right. Mrs. Green?
I'll vote yes based on a recommendation from Planning and Zoning.
Riley?
I'll also vote yes based on Planning and Zoning's recommendation.
I also vote yes based on P&Z recommendation. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Have a good afternoon. Next.
Thank you, Mr. President. This next one is somewhat unique. It's a change in zone number 1957, filed on behalf of Veronica Payton. It is a change in zone from B1 down to AR1, which we don't see all that often, but there was reasons given at Planning and Zoning. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a B1 neighborhood business district to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 0.28 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the east side of Front Street, which is Sussex County Route 38B, approximately 200 feet south of Washington Street, which is Sussex County Route 225C. The 911 address is 8465 Front Street, Lincoln, and the tax parcel is District 230, Map 6.17, Parcel 19.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's site plan, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of a survey received from the applicant. I would note that we have received one mail return and 5 letters stating that they have no objection. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of June 9th of this year. And at its meeting of June 9th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 7 reasons as outlined within the Commission's motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion, along with the draft minutes of that meeting, is included in Council's paperless packet. Thank you.
Any questions of the Council? Robertson.
Thank you. I think Ms. Payton's here. If you would come forward, you've heard what Mr. Whitehouse has stated, and certainly I think you heard what he said as far as the recommendation for Planning and Zoning. Do you have anything you'd like to add or expand?
Just thank you for your time, and I'm grateful that my daughter and I hopefully will get to continue to live in this old general store and the original post office in Lincoln that we have converted into our home and my hair salon.
Wow.
So we love it. And
as Mr. Robertson said earlier, it's not very often we see people who downzone.
Right.
A lot of upzone, not many downzones. So
right. Well, everyone else on my block has the same zoning that I'm applying for,
sure.
So I just want to be one of them.
And we did look at it. Mr. Whitehouse can chime in on this. That, you know, she mentioned and she talked about this at Planning and Zoning. The hair salon would just be a home occupation.
That's
so
all.
It does not require that to be one.
No, there's no employees.
Yeah, right.
But it sounds like you're being a good neighbor.
And I'm trying to be a good steward.
Which is a very good thing.
Yeah, I
commend you for that.
Everything I have into it for the last 17 years, I absolutely adore it.
Sure. Any questions of council? Any questions of council? Okay, you can have a seat.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Is there anyone present in the room this afternoon who wants to speak in favor of this application? Mr. Wilson? No? Just kidding. It appears for the record that there is not. Is there anyone present in this room who wants to speak in opposition to this application? Again, for the record, there is no one who wishes to speak in opposition in the room. Operator, is there anyone listening remotely that would like to comment either in favor of or in opposition to this application? Okay, with that, thank you, operator. Mr. President and Council, we can close the public hearing, and if you so choose, we can close the record on the matter.
We'll close the public hearing. So, okay, with Council, close the public record. And Mr. Robinson, read the short title.
I will do that. This is change in zone number 1957, filed on behalf of Veronica Payton. It is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a B1 neighborhood business district to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 0.28 acres, more or less, the property being on the east side of Front Street, Sussex County Road 38B, approximately 200 feet south of Washington Street, which is Sussex County Road 225C, and it has a 911 address of 8465 Front Street, Lincoln. The tax parcel is 230-6.17-19.00. Thank you.
Pleasure, Council.
Move to approve.
Motion, Mrs. Green.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? And this is to approve it based on planning and zoning's reasons 1 through 7.
It's a change in zones, so there's no conditions on
yes.
this
one. Mm-hmm. We'll take the vote, Mrs. Green.
Based on the recommendation from planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Schaefer.
I vote yes based on a recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Riley.
I too vote yes based on planning and zoning's recommendations.
I also agree with PNC's recommendation and vote yes. It's passed. Have a good afternoon.
Good luck.
Thank you. Next, sir.
Thank you, sir. But before I read this one, just for the record, I recuse myself at planning and zoning, and I'm not going to participate on a substantive matter. However, as you know, I'm covering for Mr. Moore today. That leaves nobody else, so I'm just going to run the meeting like I've done in the last three,
sure. You
know, which is just procedural, not substantive. So this is change in zone number 1958, filed on behalf of Boardwalk Development, LLC. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR, General Residential District, to a GR RPC, General Residential District Residential Planned Community, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 21.32 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the north and northeast side of Banks Road, which is Sussex County Rep 298, approximately 0.49 miles southeast of John J. Williams Highway, that's Route 24. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 17, Parcel 165.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plat, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We also have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of the applicant, the plus comments, and the applicant's response to the plus comments. We also have a copy of change of zone number 1844, dated March 13th of 2018. We have a copy of the TAC comments. We have a copy of the applicant's proposed conditions. We also have a copy of the applicant's 99-9C response. I would note that we have received 7 mail returns. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of June 9th of this year. At the meeting of June 23rd of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 9 reasons stated and for the 17 recommended conditions as outlined within the Commission's motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion, along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings, is included in Council's paperless packet. Thank you.
Any questions of the Council? Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Whitehouse. The applicant, whoever's doing the speaking, if you could come forward and present the application and state your name and details for the record. Thanks.
Know the drill. Thanks, Vince. Ken Christenberry with Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown. For those of you who are on Council 4 years ago, you may remember this project. We did receive, and Jamie, I forwarded to your staff earlier today, we received a letter from DENREC. Just in the last week, there was a question from a neighbor about a month ago asking if there was a bald eagle's nest on the property. Our environmental scientist agreed to meet with the DENREC forest bird biologist, and they walked the site together a week ago and did not find any evidence of a bald eagle's nest. So I have that letter here. I have a hard copy, which I was advised to bring in. And I also have just kind of a one-page little outline of of how this compares to what was approved by County Council 4 years ago. So with your permission, Mr. Whitehouse, I'd like that to be passed down. Change of Zone 1844 was unanimously approved 4 years ago and represented an essentially identical project to what's before you today. The approved ordinance for Change of Zone 1844 is included in tab 7 of the hard copy book, and also that there are chapter tabs in your digital copy. So if you want to skip to chapter 7, that you'll see what was voted through by County Council. The project consists of 54 single-family detached homes on approximately 21.32 acres, netting a density of 2.54 dwelling units per acre. The updated application does not change that request. We also had generous forest buffers included in the prior application, and that has not been changed by this request. Essentially, the old request expired while we were waiting for the county to bring sewer through the property, and while we were waiting for Tidewater Utilities to bring central water to the property. Tab 8 includes the site plan, in which you can see the cover page for on the screen. This is an application to reestablish the RPC overlay that was approved with Change of Zone 1844. The special conditions included in Change of Zone 1844 that we want to reestablish are reduction of front setbacks from 30 feet to 25, reduction of side setbacks from 10 feet to 8, reduction of minimum lot size in this GR zoned property from 10,000 square feet to 7,500. The project includes 9 acres of open space, less than 1 acre of which is a wetlands. The acre of open space right up against the bay is wetlands. And over 6 acres of upland forest will be preserved as open space between the backs of these lots and the neighboring communities. Page 2 of your handout is a table of contents. And this is, we've highlighted anything that's at all different from what you approved 4 years ago. And the differences are nominal. I'm going to summarize them briefly. Tab 3 is utility availability status updates. Sewer construction by Sussex County Engineering Department is currently underway. It's not operational yet, but it will be before we're ready to pull any building permits. There's also in tab 3 information from Tidewater Utilities regarding a 12-inch water main they've engineered to run down Banks Road. They have indicated that it is expected to be operational in the second quarter of 2023, which would correspond well with our projected engineering approvals. Tab 4, the comp plan was updated in 2019, so we've included the new comp plan. It's a pretty comparable district. It was an ESDOZ. It is now a coastal area, which, as I'm sure you're all familiar, is a very comparable mapping unit. Tab 8 includes the actual updated plan itself. The gravity sewer running through the back of the property from the neighboring property to our south through us to the neighboring property north is now installed. It's not, the pump station is not operational. That construction is ongoing. We have updated the topography. Our prior submittal 4 years ago, we only had the state's publicly available topography. We've run field run topography in anticipation of preparing construction documents upon approval of this RPC overlay. The plan has no changes to the density or lot configuration, no changes to the buffers, no changes to the amenities that were approved by this body 4 years ago. Tab 9 is an updated state strategies map because it's been republished, but it was then and is now a level 3 area, which is appropriate for single family development, particularly when utilities are available. Tab 20 is an updated DLDOT service level evaluation. Given the size of the project, they still have recommended that the project not be required to complete a traffic study. Tab 24 is the environmental scientist's report. The wetlands, he rechecked his wetlands flags from 5 years ago. There's no changes needed there. We had in our report the initial contact from DENREC regarding the bald eagle, and then we just received a few days ago this letter where DENREC has, you know, committed to writing that they've investigated the property and not found any evidence of an eagle being on the property. Obviously, if there were, that would change what we could ask for significantly. Tab 25 is findings of fact. They've been updated a little bit compared to what we did 4 years ago, just to indicate some current conditions. The property is zoned GR. That did not expire because when you rezoned it to GRRPC 4 years ago, that is permanent. The property, if it supported a density of 4 dwelling units per acre, it would have 85 dwellings. This application is for 54 dwellings with a density of only 2.54 dwelling units per acre. There's a lot of detailed information in the booklets that were provided, but I don't think I want to bore you with any more of that unless you have questions about it. So at that point, I will open up the floor to questions.
Any questions, council? Questions from council? Apparently not.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just Mr. Christenberry, to be clear, with the, I guess it's 3 pages you submitted, that was the Denrock response.
That's the Denrock response. The highlighted section is what I find to be the most, you know, pertinent to the question.
Just because you were said you were submitting, I want to make
and
sure
the very,
what that was.
The very last page of that is the initial email our environmental scientist received in late June saying that Denrock had been asked to investigate it.
Okay, and I just want to make sure our record was complete. If there's no questions from council, which it sounds like there's not, Mr. Christenberry, you can take a seat and we'll see if there's anyone here who wishes to speak in favor. Is there anyone present in the room who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none for the record, is there anyone present who wants to speak in opposition to this application here in the room? Again, Mr. President, council, and for the record, there was no one in the room who wishes to speak in opposition. Operator, is there anyone listening remotely who would like to comment either in favor of or in opposition to this application?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. And with that, Mr. President and council, we can close the public hearing. And so if you should so choose to do so, you may close the record on the matter.
We'll close public hearing. Is it okay with council to close public record? Ask Mr. Robertson to please read the short title.
I will do that. Again, this is change in zone number 1958, filed on behalf of Boardwalk Development LLC. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR residential district to a GRRPC general residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 21.32 acres, more or less. Property lying on the north and northeast side of Banks Road, which is Sussex County Road 298, approximately 0.49 miles southeast of John J. Williams Highway, which is Route 24. There is no 911 address available. It's tax parcel 234-17.00-165.00. That's the short title, Mr. President.
Pleasure, Council.
As this is merely a reaffirmation of a previously approved RPC, which expired because the sewer was not available at this time, I will make a motion for approval.
And that would be based on P&Z's recommendation of reasons 1 through 9?
Correct.
And conditions 10A through Q, correct?
Yes, sir.
I have a motion, Mr. Schaefer. I have a second.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes, based on a recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mrs. Green.
I'll vote yes based on the recommendation from Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Riley.
I'll also vote yes based on Planning and Zoning's recommendations.
I'll also vote yes based on P&Z's recommendation. Change zone 1958 is passed. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Now we're going to go back on the agenda to grant requests. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Boomerang Community Outreach. They are requesting $10,000 for operating and marketing expenses for their SWAG youth program in Seaford. There have been no previous grants to this organization, and Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
I'll make a motion to grant $500 from my account bank account.
I will make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Grant $500 from my account bank account to the Boomerang Community Outreach for summer youth camp. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yet. Motion carried.
Okay. Next one is Girl Scouts of Chesapeake Bay Council is requesting $1,700 for their operating expenses for their summer camp experience program. Last council grant received was in the amount of $1,500, which was a countywide youth grant in June of 2021. Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda, and this does qualify for a countywide youth grant again.
I would recommend we give them the same $1,500 for countywide youth grant. Somebody make that motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley, to grant $1,500 from the countywide youth grant to Girl Scouts of Chesapeake Bay Council for summer camp. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have a yes, Mr. Carey. Next.
Okay. The next one is Big Brothers Big Sisters of Delaware is requesting $2,000 for staff and supplies for their summer youth mentoring program. Last council grant received was in the amount of $1,000, which was a countywide youth grant in February 2019 for their Bowl for Kids' Sake program. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda. And again, this one also qualifies for a countywide youth grant.
Schaefer.
I would make a motion to offer $2,000 from the youth grant.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Green, to grant $2,000 from the countywide youth grant to Big Brothers Big Sisters of Delaware for a summer youth mentoring program. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Aubrey, yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. Next one is La Esperanza is requesting $2,000 for their emergency housing services for Latino immigrants. Last council grant received was in the amount of $2,000, which was a countywide youth grant in April 2019 for their youth learning trip. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley.
What was the number they were requesting again? I'm sorry.
That's right, $2,000.
$2,000.
And last time we gave them $2,000, is that correct?
That's correct, but it was a countywide youth last time, but this one doesn't qualify for countywide youth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd be willing to do $500.
Okay.
I'll offer $500 also from the district.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second, Mr. Schaefer, to grant $1,000, being $500 Mr. Schaefer's Council MAC account, $500 Mr. Riley's Council MAC account, to La Esperanza Incorporated for emergency housing services. Question on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Aubrey, yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, the next one is Primeros Pasos is requesting $1,200 for travel expenses for educational field trips. The last council grant received was an amount of $1,000 from Mr. Wilson in July of 2020 for playground equipment and a new learning center. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Riley.
We'll do $500 again.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
I'll also offer $500 from the third district account.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Riley, second. Mr. Schaefer, to grant $1,000 to Primeros Pasos Incorporated for educational field trips and early learning, being $500 Mr. Schaefer's council bank account and $500 Mr. Riley's council bank account. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. The next one is American Legion Post 8 is requesting $20,000 to purchase ballistic vests for their EMTs to wear on ambulance calls. Last council grant was $2,000 from Mr. Wilson and Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Riley.
Well, I wish I could do what they were requesting, but I'll do $2,000. Offer $2,000.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, to grant $2,000 to American Legion Post 8 Incorporated for ballistic vests from Mr. Schaefer's council bank account. Question on the motion?
You say from Mr. Schaefer?
I'm sorry, Mr. Riley's counting back out. I'm trying to spend his money now. It's okay.
Is it, that would have been available for the, wouldn't be political, I was going to say Biden dollars. But
yeah, I don't think so, Gina, would it?
Would that?
No.
That would be.
It's not public safety?
It's public safety, but we don't have.
Well, I understand.
It was specifically, yeah. We already had it allocated out and.
Yeah, okay.
I don't understand why they didn't make an application.
They probably should make a request to the budget next year, but I mean, if it's an urgent need.
So make sure we're all square here. The motion and the second is to grant $2,000 Mr. Riley's council bank account to the American Legion Post 8 Incorporated for ballistic vests.
So moved.
Yeah, we got a second. We're good. We're going to take a vote now. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Aubrey, yes. Motion carried. And last?
And the last one is Make-A-Wish Foundation of Philadelphia, Delaware, and Susquehanna Valley is they're requesting $10,000 to help grant wishes for children in Sussex County. Last grant received for this program was $6,900, which was $2,000 from Mr. Riley, $1,000 from Mr. Hudson, and $3,900 from the Countywide Youth Grant of 2021. Mr. Vincent and Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Can we spend Councilman Hudson's money?
Sure we can. I think he could donate to it last year. I mean, we could use some of the youth grant money, but we got,
correct,
we spent some of that today already. We only got $15,000. Is that Regina, $15,000?
Yeah, $22,000 total. And yes, you've already spent the $2,000 and $1,500. So you've already spent $3,500 of the $22,000.
Okay. So They're asking for $10,000. We gave them $6,900 last time.
How much last time?
$6,900.
Mm-hmm. I'll do $2,000 again.
I'll do $2,000.
I'll do $2,000 from the third district.
How close are we now?
Well, we're from what they asked for, $4,000 off, but we can
do $1,000.
Okay. 2, 4, 6, 7. Why don't we do $1,000 from the countywide youth grant? Make it $8,000. That okay, everybody? Do that.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
Second.
Mr. Riley to grant $8,000 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Philadelphia, Delaware, and Susquehanna Valley for wishes for children with critical illnesses from Sussex County. And that being $2,000 from Mr. Schaefer's council bank account, $2,000 from Mr. Riley's council bank account, $2,000 from my council bank account, $1,000 from Mrs. Green's council bank account, and $1,000 from Countywide Youth Grant. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Thank you, everybody. Introduction, proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first one was not in the packet, but that's not an issue because, as you know, with the agenda, it states that it's just introduction of proposed zoning ordinances. With Mr. Whitehouse's cooperation, we wanted to get this one in today because you're not meeting for next Tuesday, yeah, just to keep things kind of on track. This is Mr. Schaefer's Council Manic District. The tax ID is 334-18.00. 83.00 and 83.17. There is no 911 address. It is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community to an MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community to amend change of zone number 1759, which is ordinance number 2475, to include a 1.85 acre marina and restaurant amenity area for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing overall it's 126.8795 acres, more or less.
Schaefer.
I will introduce
it. Schaefer introduced it.
All right, the next one is also Mr. Schaefer's district. It's tax ID number 235-8.0062.00. The 911 address is 12537 Coastal Highway. It is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a real estate office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.38 acres, more or less.
I will introduce.
Mr. Schaefer introduced it.
The next one is also Mr. Schaefer's Council Manda District. This is tax ID number 334-13.20-20.00. The 911 address is 19840 Central Avenue, Rehoboth Beach. It is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district for a food truck to operate for a period exceeding 3 days to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.115 acres, more or less.
I will introduce it.
Schaefer introduced it.
This one is Mr. Riley's district. It's tax ID number 234-10.00-12.09. The 911 address is 28816 Four of Us Road, Harbison. It is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for amendments to conditional use number 1334, ordinance number 1383, to allow for an additional commercial building for storage and operations of a construction business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 3.93 acres, more or less.
Mr. Riley introduced it.
And last but certainly not least is Council District, or it's, this one's in Councilwoman Green's district. It's tax ID 130-6.00-115.00. The 911 address is 18017 and 18033 Johnson Road in Lincoln. It is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C2 medium commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 1.22 acres, more or less.
I will introduce it.
Mr. Green introduced it.
Thank you, and that concludes those ordinances for introduction.
Thank you, sir. Council member comments. Council member comments. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Question on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will, yeah, for now adjourn. Thank you, everybody.